Happy Friday, everybody. If you're listening to this and you've also been a part of AMI Revolution, I hope that you are having a blessed conference so far. Today's chapter is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me read this for us and I'll share a quick thought as part of our devo this morning. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Now, concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord. But I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married man is anxious about worldly things. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. it is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart, to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is. And I think that I too have the Spirit of God. This chapter, I think, is a good reminder for us that 1 Corinthians is a letter, not just a book that Paul wrote. Sometimes it's, I think, pretty easy for us to look at each of these epistles and forget that these are correspondences between Paul, in this case, and the Christians in Corinth. It's not just a long theological text. It's a form of communication between two people or two groups of people. And I start by pointing that out because we see in this chapter that Paul makes a direct response to something that he must have received from the Corinthians in a letter of their own. Verse 1 says, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman." It seems the Corinthians have communicated to Paul that they think it's good for them to not have sexual relations, or maybe it's a question about this kind of matter. We don't have the luxury of knowing the full context of this question. Was it based on another teaching that Paul had given in the past? Is it stemming from something that had occurred among the Christians at Corinth? Or is it coming from non-Christian influences, maybe from other religions of the day? We're not sure. But whatever the reason, the Corinthian Christians were asking Paul about it. And so Paul devotes this whole chapter to providing some principles on marriage. Now, you'll notice from this chapter, and even from what I just said, that Paul doesn't seem to directly answer the question. A direct answer, I think, would have been, it is good for a man to have sexual relations with a woman, or the opposite, or something like that. But instead, Paul devotes the rest of the chapter to talk a lot about marriage. And the reason for that, I think, is pretty self-evident, but in case it's not clear to you, let me just spell it out. Paul's understanding of sexual relations, which is the biblical understanding, is that sex is meant solely for the context of marriage. In our modern-day society, sex is for whenever, with whoever, with the only commonly accepted agreement being the need for mutual consent. Aside from that, it seems like it's pretty much free game. But as followers of Jesus, we know that isn't how sex was designed to be, and therefore isn't how it's meant to be lived out. Sex is meant to be between one man and one woman in the covenant relationship of marriage. Hence why Paul addresses this question from the Corinthians the way that he does, by talking about marriage. He begins by talking about the relationship between husband and wife. And in summary, he talks about the commitment a man should have with his wife and vice versa. From there, he gets into the importance of a healthy sexual relationship between husband and wife, not abstaining from sex without good reason. Then he talks about those who are married to an unbeliever. He urges them to stay married, but if the unbelieving partner separates, then let him or her go. And finally, Paul also sprinkles in his thoughts on singleness. In fact, he mentions it here and there, actually, multiple times throughout this chapter. And he seems to have a pretty clear opinion on this. For example, in verse 8, he says, "To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am." But then he also recognizes that if one burns with passion, and therefore cannot practice self-control, then they should pursue marriage. Again, all of this stems from the understanding that sex is meant for the context of marriage and only for the context of marriage. This leads us to a longer conversation that Paul has on the married and the unmarried. In verses 25 through 28, he basically says, if you're married, stay married. But if you're not, you don't need to seek marriage. And I think that's actually a really profound thing in some ways. Within certain Christian circles, or really maybe just cultural circles, it can often seem like there's a huge emphasis or even burden placed on having to get married. People feel pressured to find someone and get married and then have kids, and there's this belief that this is the right thing to do. And certainly there's a lot of joy that comes from these things. I'm very thankful for my wife and the daughter that we've been blessed with. But as Paul explains here in our passage, this isn't the quote-unquote right way to live, as if you're failing or falling behind in life if you don't get married and have children. Marriage is a great gift, but so is singleness. It's not some kind of curse or burden that you're placed with. In fact, as Paul points out in verses 32 to 35, singleness can allow one to live with greater flexibility to serve God. And that's the thing. Singleness or marriage, both are meant to be approached from the perspective of honoring God and giving our devotion to Him. Neither are meant to be about pursuing our own gain or satisfying our own needs. They're not about making ourselves feel good or figuring out what makes the most practical sense for our everyday living or pleasing other people and, you know, living up to certain expectations. They're all meant to be about giving ourselves more fully to God. I think that's Paul's main thing here. As Paul says in verse 35, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. This is what life comes down to, our devotion to God. Our jobs, our hobbies, how we spend our time, money, and yes, even our marriage and singleness, all are meant to be about honoring God. So whatever stage you're personally in, let's make sure that everything that we're doing, everything that we're pursuing, is about honoring God. If you're pursuing marriage, make that about honoring God. If you're currently single and happy about it, that's great. I encourage you to continue to make your singleness, your life, about honoring God. Let's grow whatever season we're in. Let's continue to grow in our devotion to Jesus. Let me pray for us to wrap up. Lord, we thank you for this teaching today. And Father, we read this, and at least from my understanding of how much of our society is, this can seem countercultural in a lot of ways. But Lord, I believe Paul's lesson here in the end is that whichever route we choose when it comes to our relationships, that we would honor you. And so, Father, I pray for those who are currently single. Lord, I want to pray that we would be content. They would be content in this, and that there would be a desire to honor you in this season of life. And for those who are married, Lord, I pray the same, that there would be a devotion to you, Lord. We would seek to honor you and give you glory in the season of life. Lord, we know that that's what we were created for, that regardless of our relationship status, regardless of who we are, where we are, what we're doing, that it would be all about you, and to help us to do this and to continue to grow into this, God. And Lord, help us to honor you with all that we do. We thank you for this word. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.